We've been going through faith. Faith is a gift to us. Faith gives us the knowledge of our Savior. That's what carries us through this world. As we go through today, remember where we began this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As we're talking about these brethren and sisters in these chapters, They had faith in things that were promised to them, and they were assured of by the God that created all things. And they had not yet seen them. They had not yet experienced this, yet they knew it would be. We need to remember that as we live in this world and all the darkness around us. Last week we spoke about, and I covered your prayers, we talked about Abraham offering up Isaac in full assurance that God, who said that Isaac would be as the promised seed of Abraham, that if he when he offered him, not if, for he did not question God, that when he offered him, that God would raise him up again because he was the promised seed that God had given. And we talked about Isaac blessing Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. If we read that of Isaac, just like where we're going to start today, Isaac was blind. Isaac could not see. He was dim of sight. And even though he was deceived, and the blessing he gave was by deception. Now you think about this. He was assured that that blessing was of the will of God, even though Isaac was deceived, because God foreknows all things in omniscience. There are many times things that happen in this world that we do not understand. I've told you several times, and I'll affirm it again today, God is in complete control and the Godhead in complete unity. There is nothing in creation that happens unless either God ordained it and causes it, or else God suffers it to be. God did not create sin. He's not the author of sin nor confusion. But God allows things and God suffers things many times to work to His glory and bring salvation to His people. Isaac was assured in his heart by the Holy Spirit, by faith, by the knowledge of God, by the knowledge of Christ, and a promise of things not yet seen, that Jacob would be blessed. Look at those two blessings. Jacob is blessed with great blessings beyond this world of creation. Jacob is promised blessings here, yes, as the nation of Israel, which once was, as a type of the church today, for Jacob is Israel, and Israel was then, and Israel is now. What was a physical kingdom. This is a spiritual kingdom. All those things were included in the blessing that Isaac, the promised seed, gave to Jacob, including our reward in the inheritance, not by our works, but by grace, in heaven and immortal glory. Esau had blessings given, but they were all temporal. And there's quite a difference there. Because if we remember the wording in Scripture, Jacob have I loved, yet Esau have I hated. That's in Malachi, and that's in Romans 9. Jacob have I loved, yet Esau have I hated. By faith and the knowledge of God implanted in their heart by Christ, Isaac had faith that God works above and beyond anything that we could understand or work for ourselves. God's will be done. And we come to today, if you'll pray for us, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. I'm going to go first to Genesis 22 and see the account of that. And on the way back there, I'm going to mark a spot in Acts chapter 7. If I can find it when I get there. But let's talk about that. Genesis 48. We come to the time. You remember Joseph, who was sold in bondage of his brethren to the Midianites, was carried into Egypt, and the things that befell him there, and how God worked his way, even though Joseph was in the bondage of a strange land, the grace of God with him, moving him up into a place, a position of high power in that nation, that when his father and his brethren came to Egypt during the dearth, the famine, that Joseph would be able, by the things in Egypt, to bless his father and his brethren with natural things that are needful. God blesses his people. Nothing happens in this time unless God ordains it or unless God suffers it. His brethren sold him into bondage. What they meant for evil, God meant for good. God did not cause them to be jealous of their brother. God did not cause them to hate their brother. God did not cause them to sell him into bondage. God suffered that to be. God meant it for good. God suffered it to be. And God worked with Joseph in that. And the glory of God was manifested. And the children of God manifest in that day benefited from that. That's the way God works. Joseph is in Egypt. He's got two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And just like Isaac, who was blind and dim and could not see, that teaches us that this is not a thing of nature. This is not a thing that we can see or control or do. This is all the sovereign will of the God who created all things. This is the God who made covenant between the Godhead before the world was ever created, because he knew in omniscience everything that would come to pass, every hair of every head, every thought of every man's own wicked heart. And God, in his providence and his sovereignty and his grace, has made a way. Joseph is there with his two sons. His father has come there. Genesis 48, we'll find, if you read through here, Jacob speaking. And in verse 5, we see where Jacob says, "And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh." You may remember Ephraim and Manasseh. This has not yet happened. Jacob is, if you want to say, prophesying of this. Jacob was assured of this. That's faith, the assurance of God in our heart for our comfort, for our faith, for our strength. You're justified by faith. You're justified by faith in your heart. It's to benefit you. You're justified to God in the blood of Christ and nothing else. You're justified by works to those around you. You're justified by faith in your very own heart. This is the gift of God. Now, Jacob, if you can remember, is about to speak of Ephraim, Manasseh. Manasseh is the older of the two. He's one of the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim being the second. As we get through this, you remember that when due to the sin of the wisest man that's ever lived according to judgment. Let's clarify that. Solomon sought judgment. And again, that's by faith, knowing that the wisdom of judgment would come from God only. Adam is the wisest man that ever lived in this earth, because he saw the pre-incarnate God face to face before sin. Okay? Since Adam, we've all devolved. Now, if you remember, when by the sin of Solomon, the Lord said he would rend the kingdom. Now, as we sit here with five or six of us here today, I want you to remember this and think about it. It all deals with faith. It may be off the text just a moment. But it all deals with faith in God and the assurance we have. God said, because of my love for your father David, speaking to Solomon, he said, I'm not going to rend the kingdom from you. Make a point with that. Do you see and understand what God will do for one child of God who walks with God? David was a man of the sword, a violent man, yet he feared God. He loved God. He was a man after God's own heart. He was humble before God. God loved him. For your father David's sake, I'm not going to dishonor David. I'm going to dishonor you, Solomon. I'm going to take it from your son. And we see that when the kingdom was rent, the oldest son, Manasseh, the one who, just like Esau, should have had the birthright by nature. God is above our nature. Did not have the greater blessing. The youngest son, Ephraim, would have the greater blessing. When the kingdom was rent, the warrior tribe, back to Genesis 49, they drew the bow with the left hand. They would raven as a wolf. They would divide the spoil, the prey. The warriors, a type of the New Testament church, fighting, the militant church in this dark world, fighting, walking with Christ, fighting the good fight of faith. And Judah and the half-tribe of Joseph, Manasseh, stayed in Jerusalem. This brings us back again to Genesis 49. The scepter should not depart from Judah until Shiloh come, but that's another time. And Ephraim, because when the kingdom was rent, when God, oh, the Lord wouldn't do that, when God rent the kingdom, the other half-tribe of Joseph, which is Ephraim, settled in the north country. And eventually ceased to exist with their identity as being children of God, intermingling with the Samaritans. Yet in Isaiah 49, after Israel had perished, God spoke of them as they were and said they would be gathered in Christ. That was Ephraim. Short point to be made there. It's a type of God's people today among Gentiles. They were no longer in Jerusalem. They settled in the north country. And even though we'd been lost among the Gentiles, Christ, in the spirit of evangelism in that day, sent ministers to the four corners of the earth to gather together His elect in the church of God by the preaching of the gospel. It didn't give them life. They were born of the Spirit, but He uses the gospel to bring them into the assembly of the saints. The sound of the gospel. It's a long way around a point, but I want you to understand what Jacob is seeing and what is going to happen and transpire. Because by faith of these things, Jacob cannot see, no more than Isaac could see. He was blind. He's in a bed. And he talks about these two men. There's a lot we could spend time in this chapter with, but I'm going to stay with my text if I can. Verse 10, now the eyes of Israel were dim for age so that he could not see. Okay? He was not partially blind. He was completely blinded. And he brought them near unto him. This is Joseph bringing his sons to set before his father Jacob that they could be blessed of their father. Okay? The blessing was given before the patriarch would die. That's when they blessed. Everything the patriarch, it's like a spontaneous in law, a spontaneous statement before you die. In a court of law, that's held to be truth because no man, it's thought, would lie when he was about to die. The importance of a statement of death, the importance of a blessing at death, it was assured, it was true, it would be. So, think about faith of that. And Israel said unto he brought them near to him and he kissed them and embraced them. He can't see, he's on the bed. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face when his brethren had sold him into bondage. And lo, God has showed me also thy seed. Consider as we talk about faith, the counsel of God and what God does. My counsel shall stand. Everything that God purposed will be. Period. Temporal things that God purposed will come to pass. And eternal things shall stand forever. Joseph brought them out from between his knees and he bowed himself with his face to the earth, and Joseph, this is Genesis 48:13, took them both, Ephraim, his youngest son, in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in Joseph's left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. Israel cannot see. Jacob cannot see. And Joseph, in the mind of a parent, a dad, a father, is setting his sons, according to the course of nature, to be blessed by Jacob, his father, Joseph's father, the patriarch of Israel. When my father extends his right hand, the blessing will be upon Manasseh, the oldest. God does not work according to what we think. God does not work according to what we want. Yea, in fact, God makes us want the things He purposes by His Spirit when He gives us birth, when He gives us faith, when He imparts His knowledge unto us, when He touches our heart, and when it cries, Abba, Father, by faith. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head. He cannot see. He cannot see. This is of God, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly. For Manasseh was the firstborn. Everything in our nature is sinful. Everything about us is sinful. Every hair of our head is sinful. Every thought of our heart is wickedness continually by our nature. Understand that. This is all by the grace of Almighty God. The unmerited love and favor of God upon a people. That tells me of an assurance that we did not earn it. We did not deserve it. It all stands in the election of grace made in the Godhead in eternity. You see what he does with his arms? There's Ephraim. There's Manasseh. He makes a cross. There's the cross of Calvary in a type and shadow. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. He knew that by faith. He had seen God manifest in the life of Abraham and the life of Isaac. He could see that. The other peoples of the world saw that. The Canaanites saw that. And they feared the God of Israel. When God works a work in you and you stand in faith of God and have that knowledge and work in that faith in the things that God hath given us to do, the enemies of God see that. And they fear. I'm so sick of people telling me Satan's relishing. He's going to destroy this world. That's not what God said. The Son of Man shall appear and Satan shall be cast into the lake of fire. Satan, just like those devils that were in the man called Legion, quakes and fears. Art thou come to torment us before the time? Because he knows there's a time. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me. God's provided for us all our days long. I called Steve the other night, first words out of his mouth. He said, I've been thinking about this all week. He said, it hurts my heart in a way because we are blessed beyond measure. We're sitting in warm houses. It's dry. The rain does not come in. The wind does not come in. We've got plenty to eat. We've got clothes to wear. We don't get cold in the summer in the house. We don't get hot in the summer, rather, and cold in the winter in the house. We've got every convenience of life. Blessing of God. What is he saying here? God who's fed me all my life long unto this day. God provides everything we need and desire and have a need for in life. Period. Every good gift, temporal things, and every perfect gift, the ministry, the Lord, the church, comes down from God the Father in Christ. The God which fed me all my life long, from the time I was conceived until this day, God has fed me. God has blessed me. God has cared for me. Jacob has faith, a fruit of the Spirit. He is in full assurance that what God has prophesied and what he's about to do, because he's blind and cannot see, God is doing this with him, would come to pass. Before God cannot lie. The angel, capital A, that's a proper name. This is the same angel that spoke with Moses from the bush that burned and was not consumed. This was the same angel in the pillar of fire that stood between Israel and Egypt while the children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea. We'll get to that sometime later. This is the same angel that was in the pillar of a cloud that gave them shade from the heat of the day. The same angel that puts a hedge around us. The same fire beam, the glory of God, which shields you from Satan's forces today. The same angel of God, Jesus Christ, which shades you from the things of the world. Paul said that we were all under the cloud in the wilderness, and that rock from which the water came, that rock which followed us. Rocks can't move. That rock which followed us was Christ. It's the angel of God. The one who spoke to Moses out of that bush. Jacob says, and this has not even happened yet, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, the angel, Christ, which redeemed me from all evil. He redeemed me from my sin. He redeemed me from my wickedness. He redeemed me from my death, from the misery that's rightly due unto me by my works and what I am in my father Adam, who rebelled against God and brought sin and death into the world and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The angel which redeemed me, Christ, from all evil, bless the lads. That's a blessing. We can look back in history. Again, Corinthians. Paul said these things are our examples. We can look back and see the blessings of God. We can see the faith that God gave to these men and women. We can see the comfort they had and the full assurance of something they could not yet see, that we see in hindsight. But we all look forward to the coming of the Lord. That has not happened yet. The resurrection has not come to pass yet. The bodies have not come forth from the ground yet. But we know that one day Christ will appear, and all of His children, body, soul, and spirit, will be with Him forever. The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name, Israel. You're the spiritual Israel. They were the physical Israel. Let my name be named on them in the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. And I'll touch on that very briefly and move on, if the Lord will keep my thoughts. Abraham was the father of the believers. He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That in that aspect, we are sons of Abraham. Isaac was the promised seed. Here's the bottom line. Isaac, a type of Christ, amongst which we have our name in adoption, because He's taken us from the nature of Adam and brought us into the nature, into the being, into the likeness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And let them grow in a multitude, into a multitude, temporally speaking, in the midst of the earth. Israel, when they come forth out of Egypt, was a great people. God multiplied them greatly. That's why Pharaoh feared them and sought to slay the male children. You wonder why Satan's killing babies today? Back over there, deliverance was coming. Deliverance was coming. And they started killing the babies. When Herod slew the firstborn of Israel from 2 years old and younger, deliverance was here. in Christ. They were killing babies. They're killing babies today. The most innocent. Their cries cannot be heard. That teaches me that deliverance from this dark, cruel world draws very nigh. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. That's not the way of our nature. That's not the way we're taught. Joseph was displeased with that. This was his firstborn son. This was he to whom was due all the blessings of the Father. By nature's customs, the ways of man, Joseph said unto his father, "Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand, a symbol of power, upon his head." And his father refused. Jacob could not see. Jacob refused to change because of faith. The things given to him by the Holy Spirit, he understood would come to pass. That's the way it is. That's the way it would be. That's the way it will be. It's all in Christ by the will of God. Jacob refused. This is teaching us, brethren, encouraging us to walk in faith while we live in this dark world of sin, that no matter what transpires in this vile, evil, wicked world, the purpose of God stands sure. His father refused and said, "I know it, my son. I know it. I know that's your firstborn. Makes no difference to the Lord. God's will is God's will. God's purpose is God's purpose. And they are one and the same in Christ." His father refused and said, "I know it, my son. I know it. He also shall become a people, Jewish nation, or with the Jewish nation, say it that way. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he." His younger brother. Do you remember going through Revelation? And we came to the part, I'm going to say chapter 7, don't hold me to that, where he's blessing. He talked about the remnant in the world, and then he goes on a little further and talks about the mass multitude in glory. When we read about that remnant of God that God sustains here in this world, he relays it back to the nation of Israel. He talks about the tribes that are there. Remember when we went through that, I told you the tribe of Dan is not included in that text because they voluntarily left their land and went into the land of Laish and conquered a people that were at peace and worshiped pagan gods. They are replaced by the half-tribe of Joseph. They're replaced by Ephraim. See how far down the road he sees by faith? The hand of God. Faith, brethren. Faith. Knowing that God is true. He shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he. Judea was the place of worship. Again, Genesis 49, verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. They ruled over the religious, the law service until Shiloh came. Shiloh means the peace of God. That's Christ binding his foal under the vine. Rode in Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of an ass. Manasseh was there. Remember when God rent the kingdom, they stayed with Judea. Ephraim would be a multitude of nations. They settled among the Gentiles, among the Assyrians. And take hope in that knowledge, because even though they had become as Gentiles, lost their identity. And I told you Isaiah 49 speaks of them as they were then, as they are, because they will be. And they are in the eyes of God. For Christ would raise them up. Christ would give them life. The elect of God among the Gentiles. A multitude of nations. I made mention a moment ago, I want to clarify that, where he says in Matthew that he should send forth his angels to the four corners of the earth and gather his children together. That's not talking about the resurrection of the body. That comes a little after that in 25 and 31. That is speaking of the preaching of the gospel. His angels are his ministers. And by the preaching of the gospel, that God calls those whom he hath quickened and given life in Christ into the assembly of the saints. I hope that's plain. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless. Saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he, this blind man who cannot see, by his faith in what God had given to him, he set Ephraim the younger before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die. Behold, I die. There is the beginning of life. The sin in this body is laid down. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Remember, our nature is fallen. This body in which we dwell as long as we're in it, as it stands today, is sin. That's why Paul said, it's not I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. When this body is laid down, when we die, there is no more sin. There is no more sorrow. There is no more death. We are truly alive with God in Christ, awaiting the resurrection of this body. Behold, I die, but God shall be with you. Never forget that. We have that by faith. And bring you again unto the land of your fathers. That was the land of Canaan. But it's pointing to the church of God today. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Back to Hebrews 11. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Can read the 7th chapter of Acts that covers some of this. On into Moses. We find next verse. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed the both the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. The man has a staff. The scepter should not depart from Judah till Shiloh come. What is a scepter? It's a staff. It's a ruling, a type of a rule, a type of a leader's tool to rule with. It's also a shepherd's staff, which would protect the sheep. It's all pointing to Christ. Joseph is leaning upon the top of his staff. There are many theologians from other places, namely Rome, who believe there was a carving upon the top of his staff, and they worship the carving. They worship the dead. They worship the coffin. They worship the cave. They worship his bones. We'll get into Joseph's bones at some point soon. This just plainly says Jacob is upon the top of his staff. He's raised from the bed. He's blessed the child. He is upon the top of his staff. With his head and his hands. And worshiped. He worshiped God. This man is blind. This man is old. He's about to die. He's worshiping God. By faith, he's making a statement to those that see him. The God who fed me all the days of my life till now, today. I am worshiping him. He is the God of Abraham. He is the God of Isaac. He is the God of Jacob. I remember back years ago, people would say, well, we all worship the same God. He may have a different name. No, you do not. The great spirit of the Indians was not called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're talking about worshiping God. We worship the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That's his name. That's one of his names. I am that I am. There's quite a difference in that. And this whole text is about worship. This whole text is about faith in God. Paul, remember, is talking to Jews who were born of the Spirit of God and brought up worshiping Abraham and Moses. And here he is at the point of his death and blind. And he's got faith. And he's acting by faith. He's living by faith. By faith, he's doing these things. A gift from God. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. We'll get into that with Moses. Let me go back to Joseph. Genesis 50. This is after chapter 49 where Jacob blessed his 12 sons. Verse 22, Genesis 50. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children, the third generation. The children also of Machir, the sons of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. You see, they're both there. They're both there. Jew and Greek alike, they're both there. Because God has a people from all people. From every tongue, from every nation, from every family. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Remember, God had told Abraham they'd be in bondage 400 years to a strange land. All that came about or is about to come about. They're in Egypt. They came there for corn. God blessed them. Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely, that's faith. That is faith. There's nothing going to change this. There's not a lawyer in hell or a devil in Texas that can change this. It is said. It is written. It is done. Okay? Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. Speaking of him visiting them and bringing them out and delivering them from Egypt. We'll talk about that as we go through. The faith that Moses had, a gift from God. And here's the point. And you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. When Moses died, God buried him. There were burials. That was common. We still do that today. Many, getting to that some other time. I want to make a point with you in closing. Joseph said, you shall carry up my bones from hence. Joseph died in Egypt. Yet they would embalm him and put him in a coffin. His bones, because his body would not be decayed. Stand in faith now. This is going to be some years down the road. It takes faith to look down the road. God gives you faith. God helped me to exercise my faith. His body would be gone, just his bones. And they would take them into the promised land. What does that teach us? That teaches us that our bodies, I'll say this to those that deny the resurrection of the body, Pat Robertson used to. I guess somebody sent him a big check and changed his mind. I heard him say on TV, there's no resurrection of the body. It's dead. God forbid. What did Christ die for? What did Christ lay down? What did Christ raise up? I know the man's dead, but it's a lie, speaking of Robertson. Our bodies will not be left in the grave. Our bodies will never see the lake of fire. Our bodies, our bones, I got two twins over there, granddaddies, uncles. Their bodies are long gone. Nothing over there but bones. But they're not going to be left here. For Christ is going to return. And he's going to raise the dead and judge between the quick, the living, and the dead, those left in their own dead state of nature. And his children and their bones and their bodies shall be raised up. We know that by faith. We know that by faith. Thank you, Lord God, for knowledge of thy Son.